Greetings and welcome back to OU.org and www.etshalom.com and our ongoing study of the Book of Shmuel. And now, as promised, we are starting the second subunit of Sefer Shmuel, which we are going to coin Sefer Shaul. Already in the beginning of Perek Tet of Chapter 9, we are introduced to the central character of these upcoming seven chapters, 9 through 15 inclusive, and who will remain, of course, a side character from Chapter 16 all the way through the end of the first book of Shmuel, through Perek Lamed Aleph, Chapter 31, and that is Shaul. And we are introduced to him in a fashion which should seem very familiar to us. Vayhi ish mi Binyamin, ושמו קיש בן אביאל בן צור בן בחורת בן אפיח בן איש ימיני גיבור חיל. We are introduced to a man without being given a name, and then we're told his name is Kish, and we are given five generations back, reminding us of the very first verse in Sefer Shmuel when we were introduced to Elkanah, and thus giving us the very strong sense that we are starting a new unit, starting a new book in which the central character will be not Kish, but just like it was Elkanah's son that was the chief character, similarly here it'll be Kish's son that will be the chief character, and in this case we're going to meet him immediately, as opposed to the tension that was the motif of the first half of chapter 1 of Hannah's barrenness and finally being resolved by the birth of Shmuel. Here Shaul is already around. One last point, which we are just going to touch on now, and we'll talk about later on, perhaps in Perek Tet Zayin, about the selection of Shaul from the tribe of Binyamin as being a king, as opposed to, in hindsight, who we would think would be the natural selection, which is a member of Shevet Yehuda. The interested reader, in the meantime, is recommended to take a look at the Ramban, Nachmanides' comments on Parshat Vayechi, which we just read, specifically at chapter 49, verse 10, Lo Yasur Shevet Mihuda, where he explains his approach to why a member of a non-Judah tribe, Binyamin, was selected as the first king. However, I will put this out at the beginning of Sefer Shaul, and we will reinvestigate it when we complete, at the end of chapter 15, or perhaps in chapter 16, is Shaul really a king? Just keep that in the back of our minds for the course of these next 5 or 6 days, and then at the end of this week of study, we will reinvestigate the question. In any case, V'lo haya vein, he had a son, Ushmo Shaul. He was Shaul. Bachur Vatov. Bachur means a selected. We already had Bachurechem in the previous chapter, meaning a good young man. He is a chosen young man, and good. Vein ish mi bnei Yisrael tov mimenu. He is good, and there's nobody better than him. And not only that, mishichmo v'mala gavoy mikol ha'am. Head and shoulders, literally, above the nation. From his shoulders on up, he is taller than everyone else. Now, does this mean that he literally was taller? Actually, a little later on, we'll find out that that's the case, that he really is taller than most people. But in the meantime, we'll read it metaphorically as being he is greater than everyone else, which, of course, gives us, the reader, insight that no one else has at this point. And it's a good point to make this observation about the study of Tanakh, which I discuss in one of the first chapters of my book, Between the Lines of the Bible, Volume 1. And that is that we have to remember that the characters in the story only know what they know. We are the omniscient reader. We're told everything. First of all, we have the hindsight of history. We know how things are going to play out. We know how the stories are going to end. And second of all, even within the story, we know that right now Shmuel is looking for a king. We also are then introduced to Shaul, and he's the only one that we're told about who is a great young man. Nobody's better than him. So in our minds, we already know this is the guy. We could see the shit happening, but the players don't necessarily see it. Shmuel doesn't yet see it. Shaul certainly doesn't see it. And so we're watching what we consider to be an inevitable meeting happen through all sorts of circumstances and apparent coincidences as well. In any case, the English phrase, head and shoulders, his head and shoulders above the rest, really comes from this passage. Vatovadna ha'atonot l'kish avi Shaul. So Kish, as we find out here, and we'll find out much more a bit more later on, Kish is a wealthy man. And as such, he has a bunch of donkeys. And the donkeys are lost. Vayomer Kish el Shaul beno, so Kish tells his son, Kachna itcha et achad mehanarim, take one of the valets, one of the young men. In other words, one of the slaves. Vekum lech bakesh et atanot, go look for the donkeys. Now, we're getting a mixed message here about Kish and his household. On the one hand, Kish has donkeys. That's plural. In other words, he's a wealthy man, or somewhat, shall we say, at least a landed gentry. He's got land, and he's got animals, and donkeys are very much like cars in our day. They are modes of transportation and of cargo. Second thing is that he has slaves, so that he tells Shaul to take one of the slaves, meaning there are other slaves. On the other hand, he sends Shaul to look for the donkeys, and he doesn't send the slaves. Now, he may not trust the slaves, that's possible, but it's possible that also Shaul is that kind of guy. He's somebody who's going to go out and do those sort of things for his father, and he'll do it with a diligence that no slave would do. And we will see indeed that that's the case. So he tells him to go look for the donkeys. Vayavor Mahar Ephraim. So he goes throughout Har Ephraim. Remember, he lives in Eretz Binyamin, which is north of Yerushalayim, and he lives in the town of Giv'ah, which we have heard about infamously at the end of Sefer Shoftim. When we get to chapter 11, we are going to reinvestigate the relationship between the end of Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shaul, as it is, and see several tensions that are created at the end of Shoftim resolved here, but not yet. He goes to the land of Shalisha, which is evidently somewhere in the eastern side of Har Ephraim. They go through the land of Shalim. Are there foxes there, perhaps? And then they come through the land of Binyamin. So he's evidently made a full circuit through the whole area to look for these donkeys and didn't find them. Hema ba'u be'eretz Tzuf. And now they arrived at the land of Tzuf. Now remember, the land of Tzuf, I referred us when we were beginning our study of Sefer Shmuel, I referred us in the first pasuk to this pasuk to point out that there's a land called Tzuf. It's evidently named after Shmuel's great, however many greats, six generations up, ancestor. And now they come to the land of Tzuf, and of course, what town is smack in the middle of the land of Tzuf? Ramah, otherwise known as Ramatayim, Sofim. Hema ba'u be'eretz Tzuf, v'sha'ul amar l'na'aro, asher imo, l'chav n'ashuva. And Shaul said to his kid, to the kid who was with him, let's go back. Why? Penyachdal avim min hatonot v'da'ag lanu. I'm afraid the father is going to give up on us, about giving up on the donkeys and start worrying about us. Now, this is already, we've already seen some great things about Shaul. Besides the description of him being better than everybody else in head and shoulders, we also see that he is loyal, he is diligent, he also has a sense of proportion. He says, look, we went to go find donkeys. We went to find donkeys, not to find donkeys, but to take care of father and father's needs. And now father will likely have a greater need, which is worried about us. So let's forget the donkeys and go back. That seems to be a young man with very good judgment. Vayomer lo, and now the valet speaks up to him and says, Hinei na ish Elohim ba'ir hazot. In other words, they were passing by Ramah, and he says, there's a man of God in this city. Va'ish nichbad, he's a very honorable man. Kol asher yedaber bo yavo. Whatever he says will come true. Now, does that mean that he's some sort of a wizard who makes things happen? It could be interpreted that way, but as we will see later on, that's not their intent, and we certainly don't understand it that way. Rather, he's a prognosticator. He can see what will happen, and he predicts it accurately. Let's go there. Perhaps he'll tell us the path that we're taking. Now, what does the kid mean? What the kid means is maybe he'll tell us what's the proper way to go to find the donkeys, where we'll find the donkeys. But the way that his words are presented in the text is a delicious ambiguity, in which he says he'll tell us the path that we're going. Indeed, that's what's going to happen. This prophet is going to tell them the path that they're going, and it has nothing to do with donkeys, and it has everything to do with the salvation of Israel and with monarchy. This is what the kid says to Shaul. Now, in many situations, you would think that a servant speaking up to his master and telling him where they should go, at best would be tolerated, and perhaps even worse. Instead, what is Shaul's response? He takes the suggestion, but he responds to it in a dialogic form. Okay, let's take it your way. Let's go. We'll go to him. Uman navila ish. There's a beautiful double entendre. Man navila ish. What will we bring to the man? Or shall we say, the man is a navi. Man navila ish. Ki hi halacha mazal mikelenu. We are all out of food. Utshura in lahavi laish alohim ma itanu. He said, we don't have a tshura. What's a tshura? It comes from the relatively archaic form Shin Vav Resh, or radical Shin Vav Resh, which means to see. Ashurenu v'lo'ata, banot sada alei shur. So it means a tshura is a seeing gift, otherwise known in English as a tribute. We have no tribute to bring to the man of God, ma'itanu, as if to say, check the bag, see if we have anything. Which in Shaul takes the boy's suggestion, and he responds and said, fine, but you can't go to a man of God without some sort of a gift. We don't have anything to bring him. Va'yosef ha'na'ar la'tonot Shaul, so the boy responded, va'yomer hinenim tzaviyadi reva shekel kasef, I found one quarter of a piece of a shekel of silver. We'll go and we'll give it to him. And he'll tell us, again, he'll tell us our path. And Shaul accepts this idea. Now, Perek Tet Pasuk Tet, this next verse, verse 9, is an interpolation. And it's an interpolation for the purpose of the reader, because the reader will not understand a later conversation in a few verses without this interpolation. And that tells us that Sefer Shmuel was completed or was published generations after the events, and we'll see in a second why. The Fanim be Israel, in the old days be Israel, Ko Amar Ha'ish Belechto Lidrosh Elohim. This is what a man would say when he was going to seek God. What would he say? Lechu v'nelcha an haro'eh. Let us go to the seer, to the ro'eh. Ki la'navi hayom, what we call a prophet today, yikarei lefanim haro'eh, used to be called a ro'eh. So in other words, the text is telling us that in the next few verses you're going to hear a term used that you're not familiar with. It's called ro'eh, a seer. But you should know that in the days of Shmuel, that's what they used to call a prophet, a seer. Now that may indicate more than just a semantic difference. It may indicate a difference in task. That perhaps they understood a prophet then as really somebody whose job was to see things you couldn't see. Where are those missing socks? I'm making a silly example. But where is that treasure? Or where is my missing child? Or whatever. That would be one way that they would see it. And today, in our day, a Navi is much more of a messenger, someone who God speaks to and he brings messages forward, which is a whole different function. It may also be just a semantic difference, but either way, it's clear that by the time Sefer Shmuel is published, meaning is presented in a completed form, the audience does not know what a Ro'eh is, so it's not just that they've stopped calling a Navi a Ro'eh, they don't even remember such a thing, so the text has to tell us. That's what we used to call a Navi, so you'll understand the rest of the text. You have a similar thing, anybody interested in taking a look, in Megillat Rut, Perek Dalad, Pasuk Zion. And just to give a little bit of information, by the time Sefer Megillat Rut is published, people don't know about making a kinyan by taking somebody's shoe off. They don't understand that. And so the text explains it. The interested reader will take a look over there. So then we go back to our text. Vayomer Shaul l'na'aro. So Shaul said to the kid, Tov dvarcha l'cha nelcha. Right? What you say is good. In other words, you found something. Let's go. Vayelchu el ha'ir ha'shasham ish ha'elohim. They go to the city where the man of God is. Now, the name of the town is Ramah. Ramah means a high place. There's more than one Ramah in Eretz Yisrael. There's Ramat Binyamin. There's Ramat Ephraim, which is where Shmuel is. There may be either other cities named Ramah. Today, of course, we have quite a number of them, Ramat Sharet, Ramat Rachel, but they're all atop a hill. And so to go to Ramah means you have to climb up a hill. Now, in ancient times, cities were often built on top of hills because that was great for defense. On the other hand, it meant that on a regular basis, you had to go out of the town to go collect water. And that's exactly what happens here. Hema Olim v'Maleh Ha'ir, they were on their way to the ascent of the city. They found young women who were young maidens who were going out to draw water, and as they were coming down the hill. So they met them. And they said to them, is the seer here? And now you understand the Pasuk Tet, verse 9, why we had to tell you what a seer is. They said, is the seer here? And so the girls answered, and they said, and they gave a long speech, which Chachamim explained is because Shaul was so attractive, they wanted to stay for a little while and talk to him, so they yakked on. Yesh, he's there. And that should have been, by the way, the end of the story. Hine lefanecha, he's in front of you. Maher ata, go quickly. Ki hayom ba la'ir, ki zevach hayom la'am babamah. He came back to the city today, because today there is a korban, an offering being brought by the people at the bama. What's a bama? A bama is a high place or an elevated platform that was used in many of the cities as a place of bringing offerings. It was usually at the highest point in the city. and it was, according to halacha, permitted after the destruction of Shiloh, of the Mishkan in Shiloh, until the building of the Temple in Yerushalayim. So during this period, where evidently Shiloh is destroyed, and the best proof of that is that Shmuel now lives at home. He doesn't live in Shiloh anymore, because there's nothing there to live. There's nowhere there to live. And so they say, we're having a korban, and he has come back. Kivoachem ha'ir ken timtsunoto. The minute you walk into the city, you'll find him. Kivoachem. Remember a cardinal rule in Hebrew, when you have a chaf as a prefix before a noun, it means similar to, alike. Kayela, like the boy. A chaf before a verb means at the time, as, when. So kivoachem, as you come into the city, ken timtsunoto. You will find him at that point. Beterem yaleh ha'bamata, before he goes up to the bamat. So go in and catch him first. Why? Ki lo yochal ha'amad bo'o. The people will not eat until he comes. Why? Ki hu yivarech ha'zevach. He will bless the offering. In other words, they won't bring an offering before the prophet comes, the seer comes and blesses it. Achrechen yochlu akruim. Then the invited, the honorable invited people who are going to be seated to eat the offering, will then eat. V'ata alu, and now go up. Ki oto kayom timtsunoto, you'll find him right away. And the girls are repeating themselves. And again, Chazal's observation here that they wanted to spend a little more time gazing at Shaul. V'yalu ha'ir, so they went up to the city. Heima ba'im betoch ha'ir, as they were coming into the city. V'nei Shmuel yotzei kratam la'alot ha'bama. Shmuel was coming out to greet them, in other words, towards the entrance of the city, on his way up to the bama. Now, we think that Shmuel is just on his way up to the Bama, because that's the report we got from the girls, and that they happen to be walking in at the right time. What we don't know is something that happened the day before. And that's in the next pasuk. So to introduce the next pasuk, it's important to note that the verbal form that we're going to encounter here, which we're very familiar with if we speak Hebrew today, is one that really plays a different function in Tanakh. In the past tense today, if you want to say he wrote, you would say hu katav. But if you want to say he wrote in biblical Hebrew, what you write is yichtov, he will write, and you put a vav with a patach in front of it, vayichtov, which is called conversive vav or vav ha'ipuch, the vav that turns the future into the past, and therefore, vayichtov doesn't mean and he wrote, but he wrote. That is past imperfect, in which we're describing an action that has taken place, shall we say, in front of us. But if you want to say, rather, he had already written, and it was by the time the guy got there, the fellow had already written the document, or already written the bill, then you have a different form, and that's called past perfect, or in Hebrew, avar de avar, and that form is what we call the regular past in Hebrew, and that would be katav. So katav in biblical Hebrew doesn't mean he wrote, it means he had already written. It's an already completed fact before we are watching the events. And that's exactly what happens here. Parenthetically, if you pay attention to the first two verses in Bereishit, none of them are in the past imperfect, none of the verbs there, they're all past perfect, and a proper translation would be, in the beginning God had already created heaven and earth, and the earth had been void, etc., etc., and the first action that we're really privy to is, God said, let there be light. Which means, by the way, all the issues of age of the universe, with one little grammar flair, disappear, but nonetheless, we'll leave that alone for a different form. So, V'Adonai gala et ozen Shmuel yom echad lifnei vo Shaul lemor. Hashem had revealed to the ears of Shmuel, that's an idiom we're going to see more of a few more times in this book, one day before Shaul came. So, in other words, God had told him yesterday. What did he say? Ka'et machar. Now, remember, everybody's waiting for a king. So Hashem said, at this time tomorrow, Eshlach Elecha Ish Me'eretz Binyamin. I'm going to send you a man from the land of Binyamin, U'meshachto L'Nagid Al Ami Yisrael. I want you to anoint him as a leader. Notice he doesn't say Melech, he says Nagid, as a leader over my people Israel. V'oshiyat Ami Mi'ad Plishtim. And he will save my people from Plishtim, which supports our contention in the previous chapter that the motivation that the Jews had for wanting a king now was for military security and not for political leadership, because they've constantly felt the threat of the Plishtim. Ki ra'iti tami kiva tzakato elai. I see that my people and their cry has come to me, they're in pain, I'm going to send them this man who will save them. Which means that Shaul's main advantage, or main selling point, should be his military strategy and prowess. Ushmuel ra'a et Shaul. And now Shmuel had seen Shaul. Now remember, where we are in the narrative, they're already about to meet. So now God yesterday had told him, I'm going to send you somebody, and now Shmuel's already seen him. Vadunai Anahu Hineha Isha Sharmarti Elacha Zeyat Sorbami. And God had answered him and said, there's the guy. Which means Hashem did not tell him, tomorrow a man named Shaul ben Kish is going to be coming looking for the... A man is coming from Binyamin. And that's the man. And there's a tension there. There's an openness, which we're going to see again in Perek Tetzayin, chapter 16, before the selection of David. There is a certain vagueness to the presentation, which leaves questions and allows for all sorts of lessons to be learned. In this case, Hashem then points out to him and says, that's the man. And that's the one who I said, Zei Ya'atsor Bi'ami. Ya'atsor Bi'ami is a relatively rare term, although those of you studying Sefer Shoftim already saw it in Perek Yod Chet, in chapter 18 of Shoftim, where the members of Dan go up and scout up an area, and they say there is no Yoresh Etzer, meaning there is no king. So that same word Etzer means a king or a ruler, and what is the meaning of that word? La'atsor, which modern Hebrew means to stop, also means to gather together. And therefore a gathering is called an Atzeret, as in Shmini Atzeret. And therefore, Zei Atzor Be'ami, this is the one who will stop my people, who will gather them together. They will all gather under his rulership. Zei Atzor Be'ami. Vayigash Shaul et Shmuel betoch hashar. And now we're in the past imperfect. Back in the past imperfect, Shaul met Shmuel in the gate. Vayomer hagida nali ezet beit haro'eh. And the irony is just so powerful. Shaul comes up to Shmuel, doesn't know who he is. He sees a man, and he says to him, can you please tell me where the house of the Ro'eh is? Remember, we know what a Ro'eh is. Where is the house of the Ro'eh, the house of the seer? Now, what's curious is you would think that Shmuel would be the one to go find Shaul. Hashem pointed him out. But it perhaps is important to establish the relationship that the first meeting is Shaul coming to ask something of Shmuel, to make sure that the king recognizes that his monarchy is dependent on the prophet and not the inverse of that. What does Shmuel say back to Shaul? I'm the seer. You're looking for the house of the seer? I'm the seer. And right now that points out the huge difference between Shaul and Shmuel. Shmuel is a seer who can see things far away, and Shaul can't even see what's in front of him, as if. Not exactly, but that sort of sense. And that establishes the sort of a power hierarchy that should be here. We'll see if it continues. Alei lefanai habama. So he says to him, go in front of me, go up to the bama, v'achaltem imi hayom. So the first thing he says is, come up with me to the bama, we're having a korban, you eat with me. V'shilachticha baboker, and I'll send you away in the morning, you'll stay overnight. And everything you have on your heart, I'll tell you. In other words, you're coming to me for issues, I'm the man, you come and eat with us, and afterwards, I will tell you everything that's in your heart. Now, why did he say this? And why did he do this? Well, we'll get a little more information as we go a little further on. Vayan shol vayomer. Sorry, and then Shmuel says, and so far, we're not all that impressed by Shmuel. Shmuel meets Shaul, and he says, come with me to the bama. But then he says something that floors us. The donkeys that you're looking for now for 3 days, don't worry about them, they've been found. And by the way, who owns all of the precious things of Israel? They belong to you and your father's household. If you're Shaul, you've got to be absolutely floored. We came looking for donkeys. We came and found the Ro'eh. We asked the Ro'eh. We're going to ask him to help us find the donkeys. He says, don't worry about the donkeys. I know you're asking about the donkeys. The donkeys have been found. By the way, what are you worried about? You own everything. Now, everybody's got to know that Bnei Israel is waiting for a king, which means Shaul understands the implication of these words, as we'll see in a moment. He says that you are the one who's going to own everything. You're going to be the king. Vayan Shaul vayomer. So what does Shaul answer back? Hallo, Benyamini anochi. I am from Binyamin. What's wrong with Binyamin? Miktanei Shiftei Yisrael. I'm from the smallest of the tribes. If you recall, at the end of Shoftim, Shevet Binyamin was nearly decimated. I'm from a tiny tribe, the tiniest of the tribes. Why is that important? Because the king's allies are first and foremost going to be from his kin, and from his clan, and from his tribe. And if I come from the smallest tribe, that means I have the least chance of success here. And then he says, "Umishpachti atzira mikom mishpachot shiftei Binyamin." And by the way, I have the smallest family. Tzair here means small, not young. The smallest family of all the families of Binyamin. V'lama divarte laika divarze. Why are you saying this to me? He's not saying I'm not worthy, nearly as much as I'd be a terrible choice because of my lack of allies, because of the family and the tribe that I come from. So what happens? Shmuel doesn't answer him. Oh, he answers him, but he doesn't answer him verbally. Vaikach, what does Shmuel recognize? He recognizes that Shaul doesn't feel himself fit for leadership. Vaikach Shmuel et Shaul, ved Naaro. So he takes Shmuel. He takes Shmuel and the young man. Takes Shaul and the young man. Vayviem lishkata. He brings them into the lishka. The lishka is the room or the chamber where they're going to eat the korban. Vayten lahem makom barosh hakruim. What does he do? First of all, he has them come and eat with him. That he had already said. Second of all, he seats them at the head of the table. And there's about 30 men, which should remind us, of course, of the scene in Sefer Shoftim when Shimshon has his wedding in chapter 14, and he has assigned 30 groom's men to be with him, and the bride has 30. And this seems to be a Shoftim motif, which means we are still somewhat in the era of Shoftim, still in that mode, and he has 30 men there, but he is sitting at the head of the table. Vayomer Shmuel atabach, then Shmuel turns to the cook and says, Tana tamana, hashanatati lach, take that piece that I gave you, the special cut, hashamati lecha simota imach, that special cut that I told you to hold on to, take it, and bring it to this man. Vayara tabach tashok ve'alah, he took the leg of the animal, the calf, and all the stuff that was on top of it. Vayasim lifnei Shaul, and he put it right in front of Shaul. Vayomer hinei hanishar sim lefanecha echol. Here's everything that's left. Put it in front of you and eat. Ki lamoed shamur lechalimor ha'am karati. A very strange phrase, but the gist of it is that I was keeping this for the special time. Vayochal Shaul and Shmuel bayomahu, and Shaul ate with Shmuel on that day. So now Shaul is at the head of the table. He's getting a choice piece of meat, a piece of meat that was put aside for him. There's a sense of predestination. There's a sense of prophecy. There's a sense of specialness. And Shaul, hopefully, slowly, is starting to grow into the realization that he's going to take a position of leadership and power. So they went down from the Bama, but they didn't go all the way down. And Shmuel spoke to Shaul up on the roof. What's the value of being up on the roof? You're above everybody. You're looking down on everybody. Not in a sense of haughtiness, but in a sense of vision and in a sense of control and leadership. Vayashkimu, and they got up early in the morning. Vayhik, and we're not told what he spoke to Shaul about. Maybe he just spoke to him. But the sense is that he and Shaul, here you are standing with the Navi on a rooftop in his town. That's just two of you looking down on everyone. It's got to give you a feeling of specialness, of some exclusivity. They got up early in the morning. He called him back up to the roof. And he said, come, I will send you out of the town, meaning I'm going to escort you. Another special statement. And the two of them went out. Now remember, there's still the kid who's got to go back with them. Shaul is ready to go back home. There's no donkeys to look for. They've already been found. Now notice that Pasuk Chav Zayin is the inclusio to Pasuk Yod Aleph. Pasuk Yod Aleph is when they first come to the city before they meet Shmuel. And look how much has happened in these 17 verses. From Pasuk Yod Aleph, when they're on their way up to the city and they meet the girls, now suddenly they're on their way down from the city, but they're being escorted not by a bunch of young girls who are talking somewhat incessantly, but rather in being escorted by Shmuel. He went up looking for donkeys, and he comes back as a king, or as the next king to be crowned. Hema Yordim B'Ktzeh Ha'ir. They're on their way down. Shmuel Amar El Shaul. What did Shmuel say to Shaul? Emor la na'ar v'yavor lefanenu. Tell the kid to move ahead. V'ata amod kayom, you stay here, v'ashmiachah dvar Elohim. I'm going to tell you what God said. In other words, perhaps Shaul senses the whole time that Shmuel's got something bigger to tell him. We've sat at the head of the table, we've gone up on the roof, we got up early in the morning, went up on the roof again, Shmuel has escorted us out of town, we're on our way out of town, and he tells the kid to go ahead, and now I'm going to tell you what God has to say. And we all know what to anticipate. We all know what we're looking forward to. We are anticipating Shmuel saying to Shaul what all of us except Shaul seem to know, which is that Shaul is going to be the leader. However, there's far more to the story than that. But we'll see that in the next chapter, which is in the next podcast. However, it's important to note that there is a key word that appears in this parsha. We've talked about key words before. We saw especially in the third chapter, Per Gimel, Mila Mancha, the light for it. If you look through this chapter, you will see that there is a word that keeps coming up. Take a look in, starting in Pasuk Gimel. In Pasuk Dalet. Velo Matzau. Velo Matzau. The word Matzah shows up twice there. take a look at Pasuk Zion. Sorry, in Pasuk Chet. Hineni mitzav v'yadi. I have found a some money. That's three mentions. In Pasuk Yeralef, Hema Matzu. There's four mentions. In Pasuk Yod Bet, in Pasuk Yod Gimel, Kentim Tzu'unoto, there's five mentions of it. And there's another mention, Kentim Tzu'unoto. They're looking for donkeys. In the meantime, you'll find the Ro'eh. And then in, a little further down, let's keep reading and see where we find the next occurrence of that word. In Pasuk Chaf, Shmuel says to Shaul, don't worry about the donkeys, kinim tsa'u. In other words, we have seven instances of the word matzah here in the parak. Why? Because everybody's looking for something else. Shaul starts out looking for donkeys, and then his father is looking for him, or is going to be looking for him, or is worried about him. In the meantime, Shmuel is looking for Shaul, and the whole time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for a king, and while Shaul is looking for the Ro'eh, and the Ro'eh is looking for him, ultimately everything is found, the donkeys are found, the king is found, the Ro'eh is found, and the king is found, and now in chapter 10, which we will hear in the next, we will study in the next podcast, we will see it all come together. Everybody should have a wonderful day, and we'll meet in the next podcast as we study Perek Yod with the first of three coronations of Shaul.